Thank you. Thank you, Beth, for playing for us. Al, your friends are off. One's flying back and one's driving back, flying low, flying high, whichever the case. Nice to see him again. One of the things that transpired as a result of the situation that Sarah's brother got in over in the Philippines was my trying to find a fellow that I had graduated with, actually, from Bible college in the Philippines. I actually did make contact eventually with Phil Klump, and he's been there almost since his graduation. And they've been very faithfully serving down in the south, which is you're getting into Muslim territory, and lots of challenges down there. But I also was put in contact first, and this fellow was actually more of the key person, a fellow named Nathan Lee. It turns out his father was in pretty high echelons of Army intelligence work. In fact, Reagan had appointed him, I think it was Reagan or Bush, had appointed him to a pretty high office there. And he was the first one in his family to come to faith. In his high school years, I think he was in Europe at the time. They were stationed over there. But bottom line, he came to Bible school and just flourished and loved every minute of it and took what he learned and I think worked in one church, in fact, of all things, in Roanoke, Virginia. When he graduated, where my oldest brother is, for a few years and planted another church and then wound up in the Philippines and has been working there for years now. And as he told me, he's the only white guy in this particular church. Its senior pastor is Chinese, I think, ethnicity. Of course, numbers of Filipinos, and it's huge by our standards. But he said, Dan, when I kind of gasped when he told me and I forget how many are there on an average Sunday, he said, you got to put that in perspective. And he started to talk about Manila, the size it is, and so forth. And it is that, but it's still a very active church, and a huge percentage of their numbers have come in by just people in the church witnessing, sharing their faith. So it's they didn't bust them in, they didn't do it. It's just, you know, you're working at the bakery and you shared with your fellow employee, and it's multiplied exponentially that way. All that as background, I asked Nate to keep me posted on things that were going on in his life, and so he recently sent, he has little ministry updates, and the first little excerpt of this I thought was interesting. You know, one of the things that they would tell you when you're starting off in baseball and you're standing at the plate and the ball's coming, Dave, is what? Yeah, if you're a wild pitcher. Keep your eye on the ball. That was a big thing. And there's something to that. And he starts off with that, and he said, the Lord just used an incident to reaffirm that truth to me. I have a relationship with one of the top newsmen here in the Philippines. He came to my evening services years ago, and he began seeking my counsel. We become close. I had the privilege, in fact, of performing his wedding last year. I continued to meet with him and his wife. He's an investigative reporter known all over the Philippines. In fact, he's feared by corrupt officials here. The other day I received a phone call, and you need that as a backdrop to this. The other day I received a phone call from a poor Filipino sister in the Lord who had two of her adult sons falsely arrested by a very corrupt policeman. They've been kept in a local jail for several days. Both were beaten violently. I told her I'd seek the Lord's wisdom and see what I could do. The very next day, I had a scheduled meeting with my friend, the investigative reporter. At the end of the meeting, I shared the situation with him. And let me just stop a minute. Just giving you that much, fill in the blanks, what happened next? He took the story, ran with it, got public. They got the kids out of there. The bad guys were punished. No. He quickly gave me permission to give his personal number to this woman and said he would get his people on it immediately. I was very humbled, and I thanked him for that. I called the sister right away and shared how the Lord had led. She thanked me and shared how the Lord had been working also. The local police captain, this isn't the corrupt one, this is one over him yet, discovered the situation, immediately ordered the boys released, and began an investigation. Personally called and met with the woman and apologized for what had happened. The way she handled it so impressed the captain, he's invited us to start a Bible study in his precinct. She said she's choosing now not to contact my friend, the investigative reporter, because she desires to continue to share the love of Christ through the door that's been opened. Well, he says, may her tribe increase, and may my faith imitate hers. One other thought here, they have recently, this large Filipino national church has asked him to, he's been an associate pastor with them, has asked them to become, take over the head of their foreign missions thing. Here's a church that is not only sending out missionaries, but and very involved. For example, over the last 2 years, they have been instrumental in seeing over 2,500 house churches planted in India. And they have a set goal for 500 more this coming year. So yesterday, he and his wife flew to India. They're in the River Ganges region, and looking also for ways to set up a 2-year theological training center there. I sent him Sam Paulson's name because Sam graduated ahead of him. They wouldn't have known each other per se, and hopefully that'll do some good for them in contacting those references. So I'd like to pray for Nate Lee and his ministry there in a minute. Al, I look like you're involved there. Here's a incident, just kind of an anecdote to follow up with that from our friends from Pioneers. I appreciate them from time to time sending out these. This comes from Southeast Asia. A gentleman named Daniel, who's a partner of a pioneer. Now, I don't know how to interpret that, a partner of a pioneer. So whether that's a national who's been trained by one of their pioneer missionaries, and he's now doing this, but he was out in an unreached district with a worker that he himself has been training in church planting, in the church planting movement. As they walked through a village, they came across a group of people standing around a coconut tree. They eased into the crowd and began kind of chit-chatting about coconuts and God's creation, and eventually wove in spiritual statements into the everyday life of what was going on. One of the men in this group responded positively to their spirituality and shared, you know, that his mom had been sick in bed for months now. They'd been unable to help her. She'd been unable to get up, but he didn't know what was wrong with her. So Daniel, this gentleman, asked if they could stop by and see her. As they entered the man's house, they were surprised to find that even though this lady had been on the pilgrimage, they're Muslims, all right, so somebody had been on a pilgrimage there. Even though this lady had been on the pilgrimage and was quite religious, they had also been taking her to the local village witch doctor, which is prohibited by Islam. Apparently, they had been to the medical doctors, but they could find nothing wrong, so they concluded her sickness was spiritual, so they took her to the shaman. However, the mom confessed that after going there, her troubles had only increased. Now she was having dreams every night of a goat man with red eyes, and was giving her terrible nightmares at night. By the way, just let me stop there a moment. Are any of you familiar? Well, let me start with a word. You know what the word necromancy means? Necromancy. That's right. Necros, dead, mancy, divination. Think of the Old Testament situation when King Saul couldn't get a word from the Lord. He went to a witch, the witch of Endor, and said, you know, I need a word. Bring up somebody for me. And when he was able to deceive her enough that she wasn't going to get in trouble, they brought up Samuel. And apparently it really was Samuel because she freaked out. I mean, it's just, this isn't what happens here. And it went on. That is something, that the contact with the dead is something that has gone on from time immemorial. And I'm saying it this evening because, and it just crosses my mind, I feel like I need to say something to our general church gathering here. There's a minister south of us in Tennessee, a large church. I can only assume it's emergent. I hope it's not evangelical. He and his wife lost a son a while ago, which is tragic. But they've been, somehow have been trying to get in touch with their dead son. And apparently there are apparitions appearing to people in the congregation, revelations being given from the dead son. Now, I don't think it's their son, if you just to clarify with our small group. I think it's devilish and it's deceptive. And as believers, we're clearly told not to go down that road. They've written, the husband and wife have written the book. It's out there in the evangelical community now. And what bothers me is we've become so soft-headed as Western Christians that I'm sure that people will buy that and get in. And once that camel gets his nose in the tent, it brings all sorts of trouble. And by that camel, I mean the Satan. When the dark magic comes in, it's anything but magic. So anyway, this woman went to the shaman, and the only thing she found was trouble. She started having nightmares. She was seeing this goat man with red eyes coming to her. So Daniel and his partner told them that they were followers of Jesus. They'd like to pray for her in Jesus' name. But before they did that, they wanted the family to see who Jesus was as the Quran presented him. You know, if I was in a Muslim gathering, I wouldn't know. Would you know where to turn to the Quran? J-E-R-333, right? At the nursing home the other week, John was giving the phone numbers of our favorites. This is in, let me find it here. They opened to chapter 3 of the Quran and read with the family where it's recorded that Jesus is the Word of God, a worker of miracles, able to raise the dead, and most amazingly, and this is in quotes, the greatest name in heaven and on earth. This is in the Quran, chapter 3, 45. So if you can think, Quran 3, 4, 5, okay? As they discussed these things, one of the daughters and her husband left the room to discuss whether they should allow this discussion to continue. These things about Jesus were unsettling. Eventually, they decided that since it was in their holy book, it would be okay. So they finally gave their consent. As a result, all the family, as well as Daniel and his partner, prayed together for the mom in the name of Jesus. The following week, Daniel and his partner returned and found the mom up and walking around. Apparently, after their prayer, she immediately began to feel better and was soon up and walking. What's more, she had not had any more of the bad dreams. Daniel took the opportunity to again open their book and show how the Word of God cannot be changed, and that their book also says they should read the other holy books, this is in quotes, the Torah, Psalms, and Gospels. You know, increasingly, it's like we better know where those things are written as we're meeting people who are taken in by Islam. So they say, praise God. The following week, they were reading Genesis 1 together with Daniel and his partner in the living room of this person's home. Most encouraging to me is not only that the mom was healed, but they're now meeting together each week on Fridays as an extended family, the mom, her two daughters, and their husbands. It's a household being evangelized together right in the middle of their neighborhood. And I was really pleased to hear, I've been talking to you for some months now after the uprising in Tunisia, someone started a website just encouraging people every day with little tidbits of thoughts about what's going on in Tunisia. And recently they recorded, we're praying today for a gentleman named Mufid. M-O-U-F-I-D, a Tunisian who placed his faith in Jesus after getting access first to biblical history drawings and then to a full Bible. He followed Jesus for a year and a half before he met another believer. Isn't that amazing? The peace he found in Christ and daily reading the Bible have sustained him. We pray for his faith to grow, for others in his village to come to know Christ, and for a home fellowship to begin. There are now 30,000, I think the last count was, that have not only looked at the website, but have committed, "I'll join you in praying each day for Tunisia." So that's encouraging to me, and I keep praying. One of the initial prayer requests were, "Lord, make Tunisia," and I've just lost the name of the town. What was the sending church for Paul and Silas? Starts with an A, doesn't it? Antioch, thank you. Make Tunisia the Antioch of the Arab-speaking world. And I find myself regularly praying that. When we built this building and the second phase of the building, we had a fellow here named Kenny Flaspoehler. I was telling somebody, Al, was it you this morning or you, John, and Beth? Yeah, that Kenny and Donna, Kenny ran a landscaping business. He landscaped the church property for us very graciously. He eventually sold his business, and he and Donna moved to a border town in Texas to work with Hispanics. They fell in love working with Mexicans. By the way, he avoided Mexicans like the plague for the longest time with his business. He just didn't want to hire them. He tried to keep gringos in Dave, and American workers not increasingly were disappointing. Finally, he broke down one year and started to hire some of these guys. He said it was the best thing he'd ever done. Always on time. If they were sick, they really were sick. They were joyful, and they would weed out the bad apples among them. If a bad worker came in, he wasn't there long. They somehow among them, they got rid of him. So, but he learned to love these people and went there to Texas to work with them. And while they were there, eventually was encouraged, motivated to join another couple in the mountains in Peru who've been working there for several years. Just received news this past week that couple, Ryan and Nicole Ritchie, have decided to leave Peru permanently and come back to the States as soon as possible. Kenny didn't give the reasons for this, but nevertheless, it's going to mean that they're going to have to return as well. They have several ministry opportunities over the next 4 months that they're wanting to stay and finish their commitment in those, and they're asking us to pray for them as they come back to the States. That's really they're looking very much to the Lord for direction now, what they should do beyond this, and we certainly want to pray for them in that. By the way, I haven't told my wife this, but he's looking forward to coming back and visiting here, and Donna's never seen our house, so she wants to. And we have Hugh Robertson's brother who had a stroke this past week. I think he's in hospital in the Louisville area. Haven't heard any updates from Hugh. Any other prayer requests here this evening? One more thing, Al, we're loading you up here tonight, okay? That's what happens when you're in the amen corner, I guess. You know, you get picked on. We have been watching and listening over the last couple of weeks to the news, particularly as it relates to the Ninth Circuit Court's handling of Proposition 8 in California. 2008, the Californians voted to define marriage as between one man and one woman. And that Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that as being unconstitutional. We're told it now likely will go before the Supreme Court, where potentially a ruling similar to Roe versus Wade could occur. If the Supreme Court finds Proposition 8 unconstitutional, it could have the potential to affect the nullification of our Kentucky marriage amendment back in 2004, which was approved by 75% of the voters here. What's before us is nothing short of the final battle on how marriage will be defined in America. That was from the Family Foundation, and it bears our concern and our prayers on their behalf. No other prayer requests tonight? Al, would you lead us? Thank you.